Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Amanda Harrison.
Hello.
And we're here to explore the top 50 economic developers in North America, and you had a great conversation, Amanda.
I did, Tim. I spoke with Wendy Dantchesser this week. She is the president and chief executive officer of One Southern Indiana, which is the Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Agency for the counties of Clark and Floyd down in Indiana. So Wendy is an awesome professional in this field. Prior to joining One Southern Indiana, she was the president of Cornerstone Alliance, an economic development organization in Benton Harbor, Michigan. She's also a member of the Economic Development Leadership Group and Engage Alumni Network. So I had a great time chatting with her, and I think she's going to have a lot of insights for you all to pick up on. So let's take a listen. Hi, Wendy. Thanks so much for joining us today on From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be included on the list.
Of course, yes. Congratulations. Such an honor to be nominated by your peers and selected for this. And we are excited to speak with you today and get to know you a little bit better. So let's start with that. What is one thing that everyone should know about you?
You know, I've had a great career so far. It's hopefully far from over. But I've had a great career, and probably the most rewarding thing about doing economic development in this job at One Southern Indiana is that I'm practicing what I love in my hometown. I was raised in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and the organization that I work for now is a two-county entity, which includes my home area as well as the county that I went to college in. So the way I look at it, I'm really giving back to the communities that helped raise me, and there's a lot of gratification in that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What an awesome opportunity. And of course, that means you know so much about the community as well, because you were born and raised there. What would you say sets your organization apart from others in the industry?
Well, not only are we a two-county economic development organization, we are a merged organization with our Chamber of Commerce. So we have over 1,050 business members that are a member of our organization expecting and benefiting from typical chamber type of activities, in addition to tying those folks to the bigger picture of growing the economy. And in these two counties, which are part of the Louisville, Kentucky metropolitan statistical area, it's really important to get folks thinking about economic development and chamber business benefits in the same conversation.
Yeah, that's a unique perspective, but very important because those things are not separate when it comes to growing our economies. They work very much together hand in hand. So
you're right. It makes it easier to get people to focus on the big picture and not just what networking event do I get to go to, or why is that business in this industrial park better than, you know, why isn't it in the one next to me? When folks are seeing things on a higher level and looking at the measurements and the metrics at a higher level, there's a lot more wins you can take from that.
Absolutely. Since we're talking about your organization and how it's a merged organization, tell us a little bit about your team that you've built.
I would say that instead of really building the team, I've been here about 2.5 years. I've had the opportunity to reshape an existing team that had a lot of great parts to it. So when you're combining chamber and economic development under one organization, the team had a lot of the skills. What we had to do was get them thinking more broadly about the organization as a whole. So our economic development team is very strong, but they recognize that we have to work on the sustainability for the purposes of our chamber members. And the chamber side of the organization recognizes that the economic development entities are going to give their businesses more opportunities to grow and expand their services. So the team itself sometimes just were great in their skill sets. They just needed to be reshaped a little bit so that they could maximize their effectiveness for the good of the entire organization.
Well, you've certainly done a fantastic job. And obviously being recognized by your peers, again, as one of the top 50 economic developers, I would like to turn to you a little bit more as a leader. How did you choose a career in economic development?
Oh, gosh, definitely didn't know what I was getting into when I jumped in. But as I worked in a civil engineering company, I think I worked more on the community development side of the equation. And that introduced me to policy issues at the state level. So I spent about 8 years working for the state of Indiana and eventually wound up in the economic development side at the state level. Again, the policy, the way things were done at the state level, had the opportunity to take it, take that experience to the local level. And my first local job was an organization that was both an economic development entity with a chamber that worked side by side. So I was able to see both sides of it in that organization for 8 years before taking up the position here at One Southern Indiana.
Yeah, so you've had experience with this kind of dual organization or merged organization, as you've called it, in the past. That's great. What a great fit for where you are today.
It fits really well.
So, Wendy, as a leader in this field of economic development, how do you define success for yourself?
When I look at what we do and what my role is, I have to provide leadership on more of a collaborative basis. I think if I came in with all of the answers and set the direction, folks would scoff because I don't have any of the authority to make things happen. Instead, we have to build the consensus. We have to show the direction. And if we're going to truly move the needle, it's going to take a lot of different hands rowing, if you will, in the same direction and at the same time in order to achieve the results where we want to be. So the collaborative leadership style and moving our projects forward by collaborative efforts is very important. It doesn't mean you can become stagnant and let others derail your process, but you have to recognize that the work that we do affects so many different other entities and organizations and municipal boundaries and jurisdictions that it makes more sense for us to bring everybody to the table in the early stages of any project.
That's great insight. And I think a very honest answer. I think a lot of people listening today probably find themselves in a very similar position. If they're not working with a couple of counties, it may be a regional approach that a lot of economic developers are moving towards. So that's a really good inside look at it. A couple of questions that might be a little bit more difficult to answer. What are those things that keep you up at night?
A couple of things in the community specifically can be complacency. The idea of status quo is really fictitious when it comes to doing economic development work, because if you're not moving ahead, if you're not moving anywhere, you're truly falling behind. And impressing upon folks that we have to look to the future, we have to think big, we have to be bold, is one of those things that the complacent type doesn't really appreciate. So that would be it. And whether the issues underneath those are, you know, vary, it could be workforce. And the way that we've always done workforce development is changing. The way that we've always done planning and comprehensive planning for our community services, the way that we've had relationships with one another, if we become complacent on any of those, in any of those categories, we're falling behind and we have to keep pushing ahead.
I love that you use the word bold. The concept of bold economic development is a great visual. I think it's a great way of describing it. So thank you for that insight. We often learn more from our failures than we do from our successes, although I know that in this industry, we love to talk about the successes. So we'll get to that. But first, can you tell us about a project or a deal that maybe fell through and what you learned from that experience?
I think we've had, unfortunately, a lot of projects or deals that fall through for the same reason, and I'll focus on that. Not everyone sees the world through the same lens that an economic developer looks at it. And while we will focus on the big picture or the future, and we will think many different steps ahead, I think many of the partners that we bring to the table have to look at it from more of an incremental change and an incremental success. So the better that we sell the big picture and celebrate the little things that are coming online, the better off that we are in our achievements. And there have been many times where we've had to go back and say, okay, wait a minute, my bad, we got too far ahead. We recognize that you have to deliver a milestone report here and there. We need to help you do that. And so the common theme and a lot of the failures that we've been a part of have been because we got just out too far ahead of ourselves.
Great perspective. And since I made you talk about your failure, I would love to give you a chance to talk about a project that was a success.
One of the things I think in our community that has been a huge success is the redevelopment of a former Army ammunition site that was in our community for almost 5 decades. And as the Army was closing that site, it didn't go through the typical BRAC process. Instead, it was being phased out. And the local units of government said, let us figure out a way of local control over this 6,000 acres. And I wasn't here for all the parts of that, but as the communities took ownership of it, we've been able to recently maximize the development efforts of what is now known as River Ridge Commerce Center. So 20 years ago, there were chain link fence with barbed wire at the top, and if you went too close to the fence, the Army guards would come out with their machine guns and kindly ask you what you were doing. Today, 20-some-odd years later, that industrial facility is now home to 6,000 employees a day going into work in companies that are many different types of companies, from a major dry cleaners to a food packaging company to a pharmaceutical benefits management company, and it's only about 10% occupied. So we have more opportunities to grow what River Ridge Commerce Center is, and while they have a great staff and a board that's still under the control of a local interlocal agreement, we as One Southern Indiana are able to work on behalf of marketing that area and working on behalf of the state and the other units of government to make sure that we truly maximize the potential that River Ridge offers us.
Wow, that is a great example. And it sounds like you still have huge capacity, which is awesome as well. But we are going to get you out of here on this last question.
Okay.
So as you look to the future, what do you think is the most important thing for communities and economic developers to focus on?
You know, I've talked a lot about collaboration and setting metrics at a more regional basis so that we truly can work towards each other's successes and not just measure a small little scorecard of our own. And we're trying to do that within the Louisville Metropolitan Statistical Area, of which we find ourselves and are thrilled to be. Because a win for Louisville is actually a win for us, and a win for us is a win for that state as well. So I'm pretty passionate about regional conversations, regional metrics, regional collaborations, and sometimes I have those, you know, cold sweat nightmares that not everybody gets it that way. You have to sit up in bed and think about, okay, who did I leave out of this process? As we start a meeting, we started really asking ourselves, who's not at the table who really should be here? And if you can get folks to honestly answer, oh, you know what, that department or that community may have a stake in the outcome, then it's going to be better for us to bring them in at the front end. And in that way, we'll be sure that we're getting the best input. So many times, and I think economic developers are as guilty of this as a lot of other professions, we feel like we have to have the solutions before we start the meeting. And sometimes we have to step back and realize that we can underestimate the power of having many people and many brains at the table. And if we don't recognize that that's a possibility for us, we're going to not maximize any of the opportunities, or we're not going to be able to completely solve any of the problems that face us.
Yeah, that is absolutely great advice and a great way to end our podcast today. So, Wendy, thank you again for joining us, for giving us your time and sharing your experiences with us. And most importantly, congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thank you so much, Amanda. You all have a great organization, and I'm very, very pleased to be a part of it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.